that we don't perceive. So this was why these rules were legislated. The rules of istinja, as the Imam describes, it was introduced to the believers as a way to increase their hygiene and their purification. And this is something which Muslims used to be known for and still should be known for, having the highest standards of cleanliness, the highest standards of hygiene, the highest standards of respect and honor for that type of cleanliness. So these were a few of the hadith, one that we looked at today and some that we looked at in the previous weeks regarding the physical purification. Now let us turn to wudu, or the ablution or the washing that we do for prayer, and some of the teachings of our ma'asumeen regarding wudu. Please recite salawat. The first hadith that I would like to look at is a hadith which narrates from our 8th Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, the reasons for wudu. Why was wudu made wajib? Why was it legislated? The Imam says that إِنَّمَا أُمِرَ بِالْوُضُوءِ وَبُدِئَ بِهِ لِأَنْ يَكُونَ الْعَبْدُ طَاهِرًا إِذَا قَامَ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ الْجَبَّارِ. Wudu was only made wajib or obligatory, and it was made a preface, a preliminary for the prayer, so that the servant will be pure, طاهر, when standing before his or her Lord. عند مناجاته إياه, when speaking, conversing with the Lord, because you are close, so you want to maintain that closest level of intimacy and the greatest level of cleanliness at that time. مطيعاً له فيما أمره. Also, so that people can demonstrate their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His commands. نقياً من الأدناس والنجاسة. Also to be pure of any physical impurity or najasa. So danas meaning dirt, najasa meaning those ritual impurities. So the Imam here indicates that wisdom, that it has an effect even internally for our souls. Ma'ama fihi min dhahabil kasal. In addition to the fact that wudu, it increases a person's alertness. If a person is drowsy, if they are waking up for the morning prayer or for the night prayer, tahajjud, then wudu is one of the best ways to increase a person's alertness. وطرد النعاس, taking away that drowsiness. وتزكية الفؤاد للقيام بين يدي الجبار. This is the sentence that indicates the psychological and the internal effect of wudu, that it purifies the heart in order to be able to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وإنما جوزنا الصلاة على الميت بغير وضوء لأنه ليس فيها ركوع ولا سجود. Now what about the prayer for the deceased? The Salatul Mayyit, the prayer that is recited over a dead Muslim before he or she is buried. In that prayer there is no requirement that those praying have wudu. So even if you pass a funeral and you don't have wudu, then you can join the Salatul Mayyit without first doing wudu. The Imam says, why is that the case? He says, the reason is that is basically just a dua that a person is reciting. It does not have ruku' and sujood. وَإِنَّمَا يَجِبُ الْوُضُوءُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ الَّتِي فِيهَا رُكُوعٌ وَسُجُودٌ. Wudu is only obligatory in those prayers that have ruku' and sujood. Ruku' and sujood, as we know, they are the two parts of the prayer that are mentioned and emphasized explicitly in the Quran. So the Imam says that this, because it is an important part of the prayer, it is a rukun, it is mentioned explicitly in the Quran, these are the prayers that require wudu. Those are fara'id of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wudu is also a farida, a specifically divine obligation, conveyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. So it's of a special importance, and it has these other physical benefits, ritual benefits, and psychological benefits for the believer. So wudu is something that has been very important, very strongly emphasized by the imams, to the extent that in some cases the imams have said that you can pray behind a congregation that is not a valid congregation. If the imam or the congregation, they are not praying a proper, valid salat. In some cases, a person can join the jama'at, but they should do their own qira'ah. Surah Fatiha and the second surah, they should recite. In other cases, joining that prayer will not be a valid prayer at all. So if you are joining, for example, an invalid Jum'ah prayer, then that does not count as a prayer at all. And you will have to repeat your own Dhuhr prayer afterwards. Or if it is Taraweeh prayers, which you are joining out of taqiyya or out of fear from harm, then you are allowed to participate, but it does not count as a prayer, because those were not legislated by Islam. But even when joining a prayer that is not valid, the Imam said, do not do so without wudu. Wudu has that much respect and that much honor in the eyes of the Imams. The hadith is as follows. Please recite salawat. A companion of our sixth Imam, he said to the Imam, جُعِلْتُ فِدَاكِ إِنِّي أَمُرُّ بِقَوْمٍ نَاصِبِيَّ وَقَدْ أُقِيمَتْ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. I pass by a group of people who are nasibis, who explicitly dissociate from and insult Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wasalam. And this type of person, alhamdulillah, they don't exist among the Muslims today, but in the time of the Imams, they did exist. These nawasib or nasibis, they are not properly even considered Muslims. So they are not dealt with legally and properly as Muslims because they have gone against that which is an integral part of Islam. There might be some nawasib today, I don't mean to say that they don't exist at all, but they do not exist in that way that they did in the time of the Imams. So they are beginning to pray. This person says that sometimes I pass by them وَأَنَا عَلَى غَيْرِ وُضُوء, and I don't have wudu. فَإِنْ لَمْ أَدْخُلْ مَعَهُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ قَالُوا مَا شَاءُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا. If I don't join them in their prayer, then they might say things against me and it might cause then either harm to my reputation or maybe even more severe harm if I ignore their jama'ah. So what should I do? أَفَأُصَلِّ مَعَهُمْ ثُمَّ أَتَوَضَّأُ إِذَا أَنْصَرَفْتُ وَأُصَلِّ. Should I pray with them? And then when I leave, do wudu and then repeat that prayer. And the Imam replied, Subhanallah, أَفَمَا يَخَافُ مَنْ يُصَلِّي مِنْ غَيْرِ وُضُوء أَنْ تَأْخُذَهُ الْأَرْضُ خَسْفًا. It's Subhanallah. A person who prays without wudu, do they not fear that the earth may swallow them up out of shame and out of the severity of what they have done? So it is a faridah, and even in that formal prayer, it deserves our respect. So it's important for us to recognize the importance of wudu, to do so properly, never to be careless in doing our wudu, or na'udhu billah, praying without wudu, even if it's a prayer that we intend to repeat, but we should be careful, we should make sure that we don't do that. And this is now why we have several specific rulings of wudu as well. These have been mentioned several times, so I will just indicate them briefly. One is that we should try to do wudu at all times. Never be without wudu. Another is that it is recommended to repeat our wudu even if we've already done it. So if I have already done wudu and then I have a new prayer time that has entered, then I should repeat the wudu. Third is that a believer should try never to sleep without wudu. Even if they are in a state of janabat, then they should still do wudu before they go to sleep. And our Imams have said, to the extent that if a person has already gone to bed and they forgot to do wudu, you don't even need to get up and go and do wudu. You can do tayammum right there on your bed sheet. And just a formal tayammum, there may not even be any significant amount of dust there, but the reason is to remember and to pay respect to that rule of tahara that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us, which is the source of our ability to pray and to do our prayers properly. So we should give wudu this importance. And there is one hadith that if a person does hadath, meaning does something which makes their wudu batil, and then they don't do wudu, then they have been they have done jafa to Allah. Jafa means sort of rough, coarse, uncultured behavior. So they have been unfair to Allah. And if they break their wudu and then they do wudu.